Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest in the studio actually with us is Bill Federer, my good friend. Bill, it's great to have you on the program.
Jerry, great to be with you.
I think it would be great to talk about the issue of socialism, but first let's find a little bit about your own background. For those not familiar with you, tell us about yourself.
Well, I've written about 20 books. I do a daily TV program called Faith in History, airs on DirecTV on the TCT network, and then a daily radio feature called American Minute. I ran for Congress several times, didn't win, but came close, sort of a baptism by fire. And then I go around the country and speak, and I've been doing it for 20-some-odd years. And the concept is that history is not prophetic, but it is predictive. Past behavior is the best indicator of future performance. Winston Churchill said, the further back you look, the further forward you are likely to see. So it gives you a trajectory of where we're headed. And so anyway, that's what I've incorporated into my speaking, is this historical background to give us some predictive ability.
Sure. And your best-selling book so far has been America's God and Country, which is a tremendous resource. I'll tell you, Bill, I have been in all kinds of movers and shakers, offices, and done interviews and so forth, and virtually there's so many times where I'll see your book on their shelves. In fact, sometimes I'll even just take a photo of it and send it to you in the email. Just, hey, just so you know, here's Congressman so-and-so, and he's got your book right there on his shelf. That's cool. And you were quoted by the U.S. Supreme Court, that particular book, in one of the cases they got right related to church and state.
So America's God and Country is one another, is what every American needs to know about the Quran. It's a history of Islam in the United States, goes through the 1,400-year history of Islamic expansion. Another is a book that my wife and I put together called Miracles in American History, and it's become real popular.
Sometime I'd like to do a series with you on the radio about that. It's basically about answered prayer.
Right, Revolution, War of 1812, Civil War, Barbary Pirate War, Rising Rivers, Fogs. You know, Patton had his chaplain compose a prayer. They printed it on 250,000 index cards, and they prayed it. The sky clears the next day, and they're able to march and come to the rescue of the 101st Airborne during the Battle of the Bulge. Lots of these fascinating stories, and it's all in just one volume.
Okay, so let's focus on socialism, and I want to start with a quick anecdote. I was in a coffee house recently in a very upscale type posh, not even neighborhood, it was more like a tourist spot, okay? It was in northern Florida, in the Panhandle. And they have all these pictures of American icons, and lo and behold, there's AOC in her picture, and that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who we never heard of her before a year ago. And she is a socialist, and she is, out there, and she was even on the cover of Time magazine, but she's espousing socialism. Tell us about that.
Well, socialism is dictatorship, and Hitler was the head of the National Socialist Workers' Party. That's what Nazi stands for. Stalin was the head of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. He was a dictator. And students think, well, I thought socialism was everybody owns everything equally. It's like, let's think a little deeper. Who decides who lives in the nice house and who lives in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator.
Yeah.
So every socialist communist country has a dictator.
Yep.
And now it's a pyramid structure to society. I sort of back up one of the books I did. It's called Who is the King in America? I studied every civilization that has ever existed on planet Earth and found out that writing was invented around 3,000 or 4,000 BC, Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. Today, that's Iraq. And from the beginning of the invention of writing till now, the most common form of government is a king. Now, they go by different names, Nimrod, pharaohs, Caesars, Kaisers, sultans, czars. And as the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger. People say, well, history repeats itself. Yeah, but each time it comes around, it's a little bit worse. Mm. Why? Because with military advancements, you can kill more people. So instead of Cain killing Abel with a stone, then they would use bronze weapons, iron weapons, scimitar swords, phalanx spears, gunpowder, and the nuclear powder. It's all magnified, but it's that same fallen nature of Cain killing Abel, the depravity of man. And but when the King of England was around, he was the most powerful king on the planet. He controlled 13 million square miles and 500,000,000 people, all of India, a quarter of the world's population right there, Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, British Guyana, Canada, and America. And America's founders broke away from the king and flipped it and made the people the king. So it's a polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top down, it's bottom up. It's the people. In the book, I go through that works when every person gets their rights directly from God and they're accountable to God. But for the explanation of socialism, socialism is a top-down form of government. In you
a
think
pyramid.
Of it, right? And so, as America becomes popular, dictators don't like being called dictators. So they come up with Chairman Mao, or Comrade Stalin, or the leader of Führer Hitler. So the North Korea is called what? The Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. It's not democratic. There's no representative republic. It's a dictatorship with a supreme leader. So you can't go what by countries call themselves. You go by the freedom and the flow of power. Is it bottom up with the people ruling, or is it top down from these government leaders who claim to be smarter than everybody? And that actually goes back to some Bible stories. We're familiar with the story of Joseph in Egypt, and he helped concentrate power into the hands of the Pharaoh. But what did Pharaoh do with that power? Well, he took care of the children of Israel, gave them the land of Goshen, gave his brothers jobs taking care of his cattle. But then there was a new Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and he uses all this concentrated power to oppress the children of Israel. And so we see that good people want to streamline things and get it all organized and hierarchical, but then they're not in office forever. At some point, it gets turned over to somebody. And the dilemma is, when you get people in power, they have this uncanny desire to want to stay in power. And it goes back to job security. Everybody wants to keep their job, right? So you want the place you're working at to stay in business. And what if you have a whole lot of people working for the government? Well, they want the government to exist and get bigger. So it turns into this subconscious bureaucratic blob that wants to grow.
A statistic the other day, it said that 17 million people work for the U.S. government. Now, I didn't, break down that and look into the details of that. Would that include state-level workers? But even if it did, that's still 17 million people working for the government of the United States. That's amazing.
And you think, sure, there's lots of good people, but they want to keep their retirement, and so they want job security, so they want the government to stay growing. William Howard Taft becomes the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he is after having been president. Mm-hmm. He's the first one to hire clerks. He's the first one to streamline. So when the federal government, the Supreme Court makes a decision, all the lower courts have to immediately follow. But before then, all these different courts around the country had a little bit of autonomy, but he streamlined it. He was a Republican, right? He was thinking, oh, we're going to make this thing really efficient. Well, the problem is he gets out and you get a bunch of liberals in there, and they're like, hey, we're pushing abortion and gay marriage, and instantly it's the law of the land. It's not what the founders intended. So you've got good pharaohs and good kings, but they still want to concentrate power. But at some point, it's handed over to somebody that has ill intentions, and they want to stay in power. And what does that mean? That means they want to help those that want to benefit them and hurt those that are threatening to them. That turns into what's called the deep state. I ran for Congress, and I was talking with a guy, and he goes, I hate the – this was during the Clinton administration. He goes, I hate the president's administration, but it's terrible. I'm going to have to vote for him anyway. I said, what? He goes, well, I work for Amtrak, and we need government subsidies, and so the Republicans want to cut it, so I got to vote. He was voting for job security.
Yeah.
And then I talked to somebody that worked at the post office, and they go, yeah, when we're doing bulk mailings for candidates that we don't like, sometimes they'll sit under the counter for one extra day, so they'll hit the day after the election. They'll be delivered, but it's bulk mail, so they have a little leeway as to when it actually, and so they'll use, and so then you got the temptation of those that are in the intelligence community, and they're digging up stuff on candidates that are opposing their agenda, and they're like, hey, maybe I can leak a little of this, and it'll damage the opponent and so forth, and they're just operating through wanting to keep their job and this entity, this bureaucratic blob, I call it, of wanting to grow. So the problem is you get people that a lot of them work for the government. They want the government to grow. That's socialism. Socialism is that it's a hierarchical structure like a pyramid. You have a dictator at the top. You have the communist and socialist party members, the ruling party class. They get all the favors and they get favorable treatment. They get Obamacare waivers. They get all kinds of stuff. And then you have the peasants at the bottom. Oh. And so it's a pyramid structure. It's a hierarchical structure. And now another interesting thing is Lenin.
Wait. We have about 3 minutes left. We could talk about Lenin if you want. But I was just going to ask you about today. How is it? Since we know this history about the terrible track record of socialism, including Lenin's terrible track record. I mean, that guy, you know, didn't he say we had to smash some eggs to make an omelet or something like that?
Right.
But how come we don't learn from this?
So Lenin said socialism is a transition phase from capitalism to communism. So it's not an end in itself.
Yeah.
It's a transition phase. So capitalism empowers the individual. You get to come up with an idea for a job or a business or a computer program, and you can put in your hard work and you can sell it and you can prosper yourself. Capitalism empowers the individual. Now, I want to make a distinction, not globalist capitalism, not the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts, the Zuckerbergs or whatever, the Bezos, because when they get that huge size, they're actually in bed with the government.
Yeah.
They want to get funding and all kinds of tax benefits and all kinds of credits. And so
I see mailmen on Easter Sunday and, you know, what are you doing delivering things? And it turns out it's because of Amazon.
Right. So I make a distinction between this globalist industrialist capitalism and then the common person on the street capitalism. So capitalism empowers the individual. Communism empowers the state. And socialism is the transition phase between capitalism and communism. That's what Lenin said. And so Lenin said the goal of socialism is communism. And so it's this idea where you gradually flip it from the people ruling themselves with their own capital to the government ruling from the top down.
Yeah.
And
so how do you explain the popularity of somebody like AOC?
Ignorance.
Alexandria Ocasio. Okay.
Yeah, they're just totally ignorant of history. And the media frames the agenda.
Yeah.
And so when you I tell people the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. And public opinion is controlled by the media and education. And so whoever controls media and education controls the country, so to speak. So the people vote, yeah, but you can't vote for somebody you don't know about, and the only thing you know about them is what you heard in the media.
Yeah.
And so whoever controls media and education helps form the public opinion. People vote based on the public opinion. Politicians get in. Politicians make the laws, and the laws run the land. And so what's happened is a lot of good people have sat back and not gotten involved in media and education. We've totally surrendered the public education system. I was doing an interview on Fox Radio, and a person interviewing me, I said, you have to think of it as a babies, you know, kids. Your mind is like a super fancy computer. It's more than that, but it's at least that. And your body's like the computer case, which makes it silly for people to argue over what color the computer case is. Right, reds are better than greens. It's not doesn't matter what color the skin is. It's what software is running on your brain. And is it God's behavioral software program? Right, love one another, or is it Sharia, or is it something else? So the battle is who gets to load the software on the next generation's brains.
Wow, we're basically out of time, but let's continue this discussion. AmericanMinute.com for more information. Bill Federer, Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.